Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Key vote on the nature restoration law in the European Parliament has survived an attempt to kill it as MPs split down the middle. The proposal to reverse the steep decline in biodiversity in Europe has avoided an outright rejection, but a final committee vote on the law was pushed back until June 27th. Well, for a reaction to all of this, we're joined now by Pat McCormack, President of the ICMSA, and you're very welcome back to the programme. Your reaction to that vote today, that attempt to kill it didn't work.
Yeah, no, look, I'm not surprised, I suppose, but in fairness, those that wish to see the Nature Restoration Act become compatible with farming or to slow down the momentum of it have gained in momentum. So that's a positive from our perspective. You know, hopefully there'll be good interaction, good dialogue now in the coming weeks. There's a number of weeks before the next vote, you know, and hopefully that there will be amendments that will provide clarity for the rural population of Europe as well as Ireland.
And what amendments do you need to see?
Well, it's absolutely critical that we see the word voluntary brought in there, because as it stands at the moment, the department could drive down the road, look in the field that Pat McCormack's great grandfather drained, and say, that was a wet soils 100 years ago. You have to re-wet it and make farm families unviable throughout the country. You know, that's a real risk at the moment. So we're certainly encouraging everybody, TDs, MEPs, Commissioner McGuinness, to engage in this and to engage in it in a meaningful way that we can have practical farming and the farm families can have confidence in the Nature Restoration Act as we move forward, because as it is at the moment, you know, there's a real fear that they could be pushed literally underwater.
Yeah, I know that is the fear, but the situation you've outlined there of somebody looking in a field and saying we want that back for re-wetting, government has said that won't happen. The Green Party has said quite clearly no one will be forced to participate in any schemes. Farmers who wish to do so will be paid to play their part in restoring our natural world.
Sarah, I've been working over the last 6 or 8 months intently with the farmers of Offaly on the Bord na Mona rewetting project. The same said political party, Eamon Ryan, won't engage in a meaningful fashion with those farmers, and every one of them will be there to vouch for that, a man and a woman. The reality of it is there's a guarantee there, but he won't give it in writing, and he won't come down and secure it. He won't come down and hear the issues of the farmers of Offaly. And now he's spreading that right across the 26 counties.
And sorry, can you explain to me exactly what's the issue with the farmers of Offaly and how that well, relates to this nature restoration law?
Anybody, I suppose, that ever had a drainage issue, yes, and they don't have to be farmers. You know, percolation areas have a significant the water levels can have a significant impact on their ability and future planning permissions in rural Ireland, indeed. But any time you interfere with a watercourse and you re-wet, you're slowing down the movement of water. There are two very contentious issues out there in rural Ireland for farm families, and you've very often heard about the right of way, and you know, they can come to blows or it can come to significant consequences in court cases. Equally, the right of water to flow is a huge issue to get it off land, and you know, the minister has said, oh, the neighbours will be okay, we guarantee that, but they won't put it in writing. And, you know, that's hugely frustrating for those.
So is that your main concern then? It's not so much that farmers will be forced to re-wet their own land or forced to give up some of their land for re-wetting.
Yes,
it's more that you're concerned about the neighbouring land. Am I right in that?
No, Sarah. First of all, we're hugely concerned that the ownership rights of any parcel of land would have been impended to be dictated that they'd be re-wetted.
Why are you concerned about that when government is saying that won't happen? This will be voluntary.
Because I'm not so sure that you can, Sarah, put in blunt words, I'm not so sure that you can depend on what the government say. We want it in writing, and that's the reality. And we wanted it in writing for 2 years in Offaly, and we failed to get it there. And the same said, Minister Ryan is at the core of that. And, you know, it's not very comforting for farmers to have him come out and say it's going to be okay, lads, because it's not. Livelihoods are going to be wiped out, export revenue is going to be wiped out, and, you know, the previous article there was on interest rates. There will be recessions again, and in the past, agriculture played its part and, you know, was proud to play its part. Unfortunately, with the drive that's there at the moment, agriculture may not be there in the future to play a part.
I suppose it's trying to get that balance, obviously, between agriculture and the land and nature. And I know you will be aware that the ecosystem biodiversity right across Europe is in massive decline.
Well, is it? You know, that's the question.
Well, the European Environment Agency said in 2020. You've asked me a question. I'll give you one of the facts that I have on this, which is that the European Environment Agency said in 2020, which is 3 years ago, that as much as 81% of habitats at EU level are in very poor condition, with peatlands, grasslands, and dune habitats deteriorating the most.
And what happened to the habitats for the motor vehicle put down across Europe? They were extinguished. If a farmer applies to take out a habitat, which is a ditch, he has to put in 2 metres for every 1 metre that's taken out. He or she are compelled to do that. What's put in when a motorway is taken out? You know, what's put in?
Sorry, I don't really understand, because with respect, Pat, that's some whataboutery. You know, it really is. I'm not talking about motorways. I'm talking about the peatlands, grasslands, and dune habitats. We're talking about biodiversity.
But they're all affected. We're all interlinked here, Sarah. Whether it's a runway or a motorway, Or any other line that's put through.
Sure, but this is about what you're dealing with, which is farmland. This is what you're dealing with.
Yes, we're dealing with habitats, and we're dealing with farmland on a consistent basis. And I suppose nobody's more dependent on nature than the farmer who he or she works with.
Yeah. So do you accept that nature is in decline, that biodiversity is in decline?
No, I accept that there are a number of species who have declined. And maybe some of those have declined as a result of not allowing other wild animals to prey. You know, we've had issues. The mink, for example, take out a lot of the biodiversity that's there. It's, you know, there's a perception out there, and it's trying to be put across again today. It's black and white Frisian cow, but there are a lot of smaller creatures out there who have a significant impact on biodiversity. Yeah. And it's about coming together, and it's about coming together with a plan, a future plan.
Yeah, and that is part of what this is meant to be about. So I suppose it's very important really to understand what your beliefs are on this. Do you believe that rewetting the bogs and peatlands would improve biodiversity and would provide or restore natural carbon sinks, which would help greenhouse gases?
The scientists, and I'm not a scientist, the scientists say they would.
Yeah.
But, you know, we represent, and we have an obligation to represent, the farm families in the adjoining holdings.
And sure, and I understand
They have significant concerns that haven't been relayed or haven't been eased in writing by the relevant minister and the appropriate authorities in the department. And, you know, it's very difficult to sit back, and we're not going to do it, sit back and watch farm families' incomes decimated, their livelihoods diminished and extinguished, and the generations of work that have gone on before them to improve land quality and make it a productive unit and make it a viable unit. And, you know, I'm not talking about a guy with 1,000 cows here. I'm talking about a guy with a very modest holding, 50, 60 cows.
So we're going to be speaking to Minister Malcolm Noonan about all this a little later on. And just to be clear, the questions I'll be putting to him on your behalf then, and those of your members and farmers around the country, you want to know, or you want to see the word voluntary in this legislation. I'll be asking him if that would be possible. You want to know what's going to happen to adjourning lands, if lands are being re-wetted beside you, neighbouring lands, what happens to your own land. And it's also about the sustainability of farmers. And I suppose the plan that farmers who do want to participate in this, that they would be paid to do so, that's not of any help to you at the moment.
Look, this isn't all about compensation. This is about the right to farm, the right to remain a viable unit. And, you know, the one thing that struck me from Food Vision 2030 was when they brought in the department personnel from Northern Ireland, and the one area that really damaged biodiversity was land abandonment. We haven't arrived at that point yet, but we might be a lot closer to it than people think.
Okay. We'll leave it there for the moment. Like I said, we'll be returning to this issue. That's Pat McCormack, President of the ICMSA. A firm supporter of the bill is Minister for Heritage and Electoral Reform, Malcolm Noonan, and also a Green Party TD for Carlow Kilkenny. And he said today that the Nature Restoration Law is not yet dead, but it is badly damaged. He joins us now in studio. And Minister, you're very welcome to the programme today. A narrow escape for the legislation this morning, evenly splitting MEPs, with 44 backing the rejection amendment, 44 opposing it. Is it now dead in the water, do you think?
I don't think so, Sarah. And certainly the extraordinary developments this morning at the Envy Committee, and I think I'll just go through a chronology of it. The first vote to reject all the amendments entirely, they rejected it, and then it took over 3 hours to go through amendments, and then a decision was made to delay the final vote until June the 27th. So there's a distance to go yet, and there were some positive amendments, some amendments trying to weaken it as well. So tomorrow, the 16th of June, the Member States Ambassadors, and this is the Corpora group, will agree on whether or not to put the NRL to a vote at Environment Council. And then next week on the 20th, I'll be in Luxembourg to vote in favour of the Presidency's version of the NRL at Environment Council. And that's if Corpora agrees tomorrow. So there's a distance to go. Mm. I think then June 27th will be that Envy Committee delayed vote as well. So
Every amendment was voted on this morning over those 3 hours. Was that essentially a filibuster, do you think, by the EPP?
I mean, we don't know. Was it a delaying tactic? It could well have been. I hope not. I do think that certainly what we've seen over the last number of weeks is that communities want this, businesses want it, farmers and fishers. And I think right across Europe, there is a willingness to move forward. I think the Irish government will continue to engage.
Farmers don't want it.
Well, I think they do. And I think certainly what we've seen over the last couple of years in my work is that farmers are already restoring nature. We have projects up around the Western Seaboard, the Wild Atlantic Nature Project, the Life on Macaire Project, where farmers and landowners are getting results-based payments for doing just that, for restoring nature. So
I don't know if you heard our conversation earlier with the ICMSA, Pat McCormack, and he was saying he's very much opposed to this bill, himself and his members, unless there are significant amendments to it. One of the most fundamental issues that they want to see changed is that the word voluntary would be put in the bill, that farmers would be told in the bill that they would only have to give up their land voluntarily for rewetting. Will that happen?
That would come about, Sarah, when the member states develop their own nature restoration plans. And certainly Taoiseach has been on record as saying this, I've been on record as saying this, that we can meet the vast majority of our rewetting targets towards 2030 and 2040 through state-owned land. Thereafter, we'll be looking towards a small hectareage of land from landowners and farmers, and that would be voluntary, and I think absolutely. And that they
so why can't that word be put in the EU legislation as opposed to waiting for domestic legislation?
Well, I think what's critical to this too is that you have a lot of member states who are all disparate issues to go back to in their own countries around the nature restoration regulation, because it's not just about agricultural ecosystems, it's about our rivers, it's about our urban habitats and urban ecosystems as well. So it's so broad ranging that every country has an issue with it. So I think if people talk about the vagueness of it, that's because we're trying to get agreement right across member states.
And are you saying some member states are saying that you shouldn't have the word voluntary in it because they will be CPOing lands from farmers?
That's not the case.
I still don't understand why the word voluntary can't be put in the EU legislation.
The Irish government has engaged very constructively and positively across this. And as I said, I think when we get down to a point where we can get the nature restoration regulation over the line, it's when we move on our nature restoration plan. That's when we're talking about voluntary schemes. I don't think we can give any clearer commitment than saying it on the record of the Dáil that any schemes that we talk about with landowners would be voluntary. And I think that's critically important.
But can you understand why farmers wouldn't necessarily trust what you're saying? Because there seems to be a reluctance, which I don't understand from what you've said there, to put the word voluntary in the EU legislation. I don't understand the argument against that.
I think it's because the legislation itself has to contain a degree of vagueness in terms of trying to get overarching targets and get the various articles of the directive over the line. So
you can understand how that would sound to any farmer out there. There has to be a certain amount of vagueness to get the targets over the line.
Well, I think what's critically important is the next steps that are going to take place over the next number of days. And, I'm giving assurance to farm organisations and to farmers that I meet that we are committed to working with the farming community to ensure that this works in an Irish context and works for Irish farmers. And, the whole issue around rewetting, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what rewetting is. It's not flooding. It's certainly raising water tables up to a level below soil that there's still good agricultural activity can can take place. And, you know,
okay, so I just want to deal with that, put that last issue to bed then. As far as you're concerned, the word voluntary will not be appearing in the EU legislation, but the word voluntary or a commitment to only voluntary giving of land by farmers, that will be in the domestic legislation.
That's what we will intend to do. And again, yes, because we haven't embarked on our plan yet. The plan will have to involve collaboration with all stakeholders. It'll have to involve widespread public consultation. And
Not getting a commitment from you today. There's outright opposition from what I'm hearing, or just a simple can't do when it comes to putting the word voluntary in the EU legislation, and an intention but not a commitment to put the word voluntary in the domestic legislation.
No, I'm not saying that. I mean, I think there's we need to continue on the in the terms of the negotiations. The term voluntary, I think, is what we would aspire to and lead to in our own nature restoration plan. And we've given a commitment to that. Both Taoiseach has given that, Minister McConlogue has given that commitment, and I'm giving that as well.
You mentioned that most of the land that would be needed to reach these targets, when it comes to Ireland at least, would be available in public ownership, and that only a small amount of private land would be needed. Do we know at this stage how much private land would be needed to reach the targets?
Our estimation might be around 14,000 hectares. So it's not huge. And again, I go back to those schemes that we already have in place. The Wild Atlantic Nature project up in the northwest of the country, in the last few weeks has paid out 2.4 million to landowners in results-based payment schemes. And this is in a part of the country that has the lowest median income in Ireland.
So, okay. So how will you get those 14,000
funding
hectares
into local communities?
Pardon, how will you get those 14,000 hectares?
Again, when you talk about voluntary schemes, we talk about Wild Atlantic Nature. That's a life scheme. We talk about the Life on Macare, the Waters of Life, the EIPs. Farmers like these schemes. They like being involved in participating in them. They're good. They're results-based, so they know what incremental payments they're going to get if they put on the right measures in their land. And they've been very popular, always oversubscribed. Okay. So that's the way we would
achieve. So the expectation is that you will be oversubscribed for your voluntary scheme to get those 14,000 hectares?
Certainly we have to date, Sarah, with the schemes we've had to date.
But have you ever done anything on this scale to date?
No, but nothing has happened on the scale in terms of nature restoration before.
Yeah.
And I think, but it's
so what happens if you don't get oversubscribed? What happens if there's a shortfall and you've got mandatory targets in the EU legislation signed up to by Ireland?
Well, you know, the other piece of this is developing a strategic fund for nature. So to date, a lot of those schemes that I'm talking about, they may be 5 or 7 year cycles. So they run out and then, you know, the payment stops. So I think it's critically important we have a fund in place to support landowners, to give them that long-term certainty, to give them the right advice on what to do. And just to remember too, Sarah, that these are going to deliver co-benefits. It's not just benefits for in terms of financial return and reward for farmers for putting in those measures. They deliver benefits for nature, they deliver benefits for good water quality, flood alleviation and for climate.
Okay. I think a lot of people would accept the benefits for nature and for the environment. The problem is trying to balance that with the farmers' concerns. And one of the things farmers are concerned about is that their land will be CPO'd. Let's just take a listen to Fianna Fáil MEP Billy Kelleher and Green Party MEP Kieran Cuff speaking on Today with Claire Byrne this morning.
Are you saying or are you ruling out that in the event of there being the targets that were originally proposed being passed, that you wouldn't or the government wouldn't be in a position where they would actually have to CPO land to potentially meet its targets? All I'm saying...
I think there's been a lot of scaremongering about this proposed law,
Billy. No, there's no scaremongering. It's mathematics.
Who is talking about CPOing, Billy? You're the first person to mention it.
No. Minister Eamon Ryan already said it. So it's not Billy Keller who's scaremongering here. So
I just want to get clarity on that from yourself, Minister. Has Minister Eamon Ryan said that the land would be CPO'd to achieve these targets for rewetting?
I can't recall, but certainly I could absolutely refute that there would be any necessity to CPO land or any desire to CPO land. I don't see the rationale behind it.
Can you give a commitment to farmers listening today that their land will not be CPO'd?
Yes, I can.
Okay, and that is backed up by, I assume, government ministers, all the ministers in government?
Well, again, Sarah, just to say, we you know, National Parks and Wildlife Service purchase land on a regular basis when it is strategically important to extend out national parks or to nature reserves. So I think that's important to say that. So we do that. So we are again expanding our nature reserves in that way.
Yeah, but this and is
I don't I, okay. I certainly don't see a need to CPO land.
Okay, and you're giving land. Commitment that won't happen. I understand.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you about the rewetting, and I know you're saying that this isn't about flooding, and there's lots of different ways to do it. That is something again that was raised with us by the ICMSA, and I know the IFA also have concerns about it, that even if you don't, farmers don't give up their land, their neighbouring land is rewetted, and then what happens to their land? I haven't heard really any good commitment from government or indeed anybody that their land won't be affected.
It's interesting. Catherine Farrell heads up the Life on Macar project that we have up, and it's a fantastic project up in Mayo. And she was a senior ecologist at Bord na Mona back when they were started rewetting projects. And there was a fear then that rewetting would actually flood houses. But in fact, it had the opposite effect, because it actually acted as a flood mitigation measure to prevent flooding. So, and what I was really interested to see the article from Pat O'Toole in the Irish Farmers Journal to say that we should have demonstration sites and demonstration farms. And I would certainly support that. And I do think that the as I said, the notion that rewetting is flooding, it's not the case. It's not pickling the land. Farmland can still be productive under rewetting. And I think maybe the term rewetting is probably unfortunate in the sense that
it can still be productive. Okay.
Absolutely.
But what if it's not? What if the peatland beside you is being rewetted? You have farmland that's perfectly productive and suddenly you're running into problems.
Again, I think the idea of testing different sites, and you know, different locations have different conditions and different factors. And I've been on quite a lot of peatland sites where there have been bunding put in place, and there has been drains blocking to bring active sphagnum back into production. And certainly the issue of wetting adjoining lands is not as pronounced as perhaps might be said. And I do agree with the idea of having test sites. And I think we have a bit of time in the sense of we have 2 years to develop a plan. I think there are already farms and land across the country.
There is no plan at the moment, Mister. That's the problem. You know, if you're a farmer listening to it, to what you're saying, that you will develop plans and you have your precious land worked on perhaps by generations, and you're being told that this legislation is coming in and you're going to be powerless to stop any potential bad effects, that the plan hasn't been drawn up yet.
No, we don't want landowners to be powerless in this. We want them to be active participants in it. It's critically important that the farming community appreciates that what we want is to do this in collaboration with farmers.
Okay, I want to ask you about the political aspect of this domestically, and your colleague Green Party TD Brian Ledden said it was shameful and pitiful that Fine Gael and Sinn Féin had yielded to, and I'll quote, the interests of the few over the many. He said if Sinn Féin and Fine Gael were Tweedledum and Tweedledee. Holly Kearns, the leader of Social Democrats today, saying Taoiseach Leo Varadkar was cynically pitting farmers against nature and propagating fears that farmers will be forced to rewet their lands. Would you agree with all that?
What my view on this, Sarah, is that, and I know this from the last 3 years in my post, from meeting landowners, from meeting farmers, from talking to farm organisations, we can't do any of this stuff. We can't restore nature without farmers, and we can't have productive farming and good food production without healthy nature. We need both. We need grazing animals on our land. We need them to be because they.
Does Fine Gael understand that? Do you think?
Absolutely, I think so. And what you
have
know,
they been helpful as a coalition partner in government on this?
Yes, I think the three parties are in a single voice in terms of supporting, and have been from
really?
The outset.
So the Taoiseach says it goes too far.
And again, you know, if we go back to look at the initial commission proposal, it probably did. There was issues in there that we would have had serious concerns about. But we have negotiated and we have worked collaboratively right across.
It doesn't go too far anymore. You reckon Leo Varadkar wouldn't think it goes too far anymore?
I think we've moved into a good position, and I do think that we will continue to engage positively on this.
Okay. I want to ask you just briefly about the European Central Bank's increased interest rates by a quarter of 1% again today, and more to come apparently. Sinn Féin saying that mortgage holders need help right now. Aren't they right?
Well, again, you know, it's something that the government has been mindful of in terms of cost of living supports. I'm not going to anticipate what's going to come out in Budget 2024, but certainly both Minister McGrath and Minister Donoghue have made commitments around ensuring that if there's a necessity for additional cost of living supports, that we would look at that.
And just finally and briefly, the Green Party at 4% in the polls today, well down from what you got in the election. Are you concerned about what's going to happen next time you go knocking on doors?
We don't think that way, Sarah. We have a programme for government to implement. Some of the stuff we have to do is not popular. I think we need to be honest with people. But some of it is actually positively affecting people's pockets and their lives in terms of their well-being, in terms of active travel, in terms of better food output. And I think that's important. And I think voters understand and appreciate the huge challenges that the political decisions that we have to make to address the issues of climate change and biodiversity loss, but also improve people's quality of life.
Malcolm Noonan, Minister for Heritage and Electoral Reform, thank you very much for joining us this evening.